message is going to be taken from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 9. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may these words, may this time be your time. May we be able to take away the distractions of our heart and mind, Lord, to bring about your words and how they may be fulfilled in our lives, Lord. May your word grow in us, Lord. May we study them. May we learn from them. May we live them out. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning we want to take a look at verse 30. If you would read this with me. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. All right, so this is a pretty interesting story. We go about it about once a year talking about it. Very interesting. There's a couple of things happening. You wonder, if you're not Peter, James, and John, did you really miss out on a lot of Jesus' ministry? They were the favored ones. They must have been the firstborn, right? And so we take a look at this and we say, what is it that is happening here? And Moses and Elijah appear to him. And I kind of take a wonder of Moses is kind of held to a high esteem, and so is Elijah. The problem being is that we know a little bit more of Moses, don't we? That's because Charlton Heston never played Elijah in a movie, so we don't really know that much about Elijah. But Moses, we kind of do know. And it's interesting that if you take a look at both men, Moses writes the first five books of the Bible, called the Torah. It's extremely important. And we take a look at Moses and how he went from being a shepherd to leading these probably over a million people out of Egypt and through the desert for 40 years, and how he tolerated people through 40 years, and he actually met with God and spoke with God, and he's held to such a high esteem that Moses is the premier of the premiers. And then there's Elijah, and Elijah, everybody knows how he took on the prophets of Baal, and he mocked the prophets of Baal, and one instance where he said, okay, God, now it's time to show up, and God came down, and he lit on fire the sacrifice, proving that he was the God of gods, and that Baal was just a made-up god. But we stop there with these two guys. We often say, okay, that's great, Moses and Elijah. That's problem is Moses and Elijah had their faults. You don't believe me? We have it on file. All right, let's try that one again. All right, so sound's not working again today. Wow. So this is Moses, and he's before God in the burning bush. And it's interesting that we stop right there, and we look at what a great and marvelous thing it must have been to be Moses, to stand before God and literally be hearing God's own voice from this burning bush. And interesting enough is we think, oh, what a great thing. Moses was picked out from here. We often forget that before Moses comes down off the mountain, he goes through this little episode where he says, okay, God, I'm not that guy. I've got too many faults. You've got the guy, you missed him. He's coming right now. If you wait for him, the guy you want is coming up the road. So I'll tell him that you're looking for him. So I'll go down and get you the right guy. And so we see that God is like Moses. You're the guy. And no, I don't think so. You're going to have to prove to me that I can go down there. What's your name? I don't even know what to call you. Take out your hand. See the leprosy. Take it back. There's no leprosy. The Lord had to prove to Moses that he was God's vessel, his instrument. And so we say here that Moses went from this high place to then a low place, and then God calls him and says, okay, I'm going to make you who I'm going to make you. And Moses, emphatically, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to go back to Egypt. And so Moses was not without his faults. If we remember from the Old Testament lesson, that Moses takes him up to a mountaintop and says, okay, this is Israel. And he goes and shows him that because he's never going to see it by walking throughout that land. We see that Moses was the most famous guy never to enter the promised land from the children of Israel. And so Elijah, even after his big Super Bowl win, he's the guy who ran because one person had it in for him. And one person means that Elijah would literally go to the mountain. We think that it's the same mountain that that Moses was on. And Elijah literally was sitting there saying, God, I'm the only one who's doing your will. I'm the only one. And so we see that Elijah had a little bit of a self-confidence issue right there. He says, God, when are you going to show up? And God had just shown up and shown him his power, and yet he was afraid. So both Moses and Elijah, they both had their faults. They both had their struggles in life of how to follow God and where God would lead. And so when we take a look at what was happening in the gospel lesson, when these two guys show up and they're encouraging Jesus because something's about to happen. And we want to take a look at why that Moses and Elijah would show up. The problem is, the story's not about Moses and Elijah. The story is about two people who were there giving words of encouragement because on that mountaintop, God was showing his glory. And yet, that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story is Peter saying, God, why don't we stay here? This is beautiful. There's nothing that can compare with this story. The problem being is that, once again, Peter, he couldn't see past that. Peter could not see past that, and he spoke the words, yeah, I would just love to throw away all my problems. I'd love just to stay here, Jesus, because here in your presence where I can see all of your glory, I can forget all my troubles down there, and I can just be able to just stand here and reflect in what you are and who you are. The problem is that Peter was not without his faults, just like Moses and Elijah, just like the two. And Jesus you can kind of almost see this on Jesus's face, him putting his hands on Peter and saying, Peter, this isn't the end of the story. This isn't the end of the story. The story here is not about the two men who appeared to Jesus. The story is here that Jesus would not relent from what he was sent to earth to do. And so we see that Jesus, even though he's on this mountaintop, he's literally telling Peter, you got to come down off your mountaintop experience, and you got to come down to the valley where the people are. And don't worry, Peter. Sometimes you got to go to the people in order to be crucified. You got to be able to take the struggle and live through it. Peter just wanted to say, I want to leave all my problems behind. Jesus says, I'm going to take all your problems to my side. I'm going to take them to the cross. And there you'll see a greater sign. I must be lifted up on that place. And so here we see the Savior just literally just putting his hand on his shoulder and say, Peter, the Son of Man is here to die for your sins. And so we see that what Jesus was going through was the real issue here. It was this idea that even though he had Moses and Elijah there encouraging him, that tells us a little bit more about who Jesus is. And what does that say about him? What does it mean when Jesus has two men who are flawed and they came to him and encouraged him, keep going, keep going, keep going. The world needs to hear the story of the cross. And so we can see that we, as Lutherans, we like to tangle with this thing called a dual nature, where God was fully invested in this man, Jesus, but also Jesus was also man. And so we, on the one hand, we love to see a God who is fully powerful and he could come with all his armies and literally destroy evil right then and there. But the problem is Jesus didn't come for that reason. Jesus came as a man also because he needed to bleed. He needed to his earthly body to die. And here we see in the story, even of the story of God being this brilliant white, that we also hear about this man, Jesus, who literally took upon him this flesh and blood that is mine is corrupt as ever. Mine is as corrupt as ever. And so we see that Jesus here is showing us that going to the cross wasn't this, oh, I'm not going to feel any pain. Going to the cross is not going to harm me at all. Jesus is literally trying to say when he has the nails driven into his body, it literally means every nerve in his body is shouting out with pain. And he knows it, walking down and saying, Peter, that's why I came. And I'm not going to turn my body from feeling all the pain that you feel in your life. And so Jesus is trying to say, I'm fully man, and I fully have every capability, capacity that you have. Every single one. I can feel sorrow. I can feel hunger. I can feel want. And yet I still have a greater desire in which to give my life. And I'm going to take upon myself, my body, this thing called death. Because, Peter, that's the only way in which you can literally look forward to a mountaintop experience where everything will be beautiful and you can literally say, I'm going to pitch my tent here forever. And so literally today we see a God who was fully God and yet fully man, fully took upon him every single one of our sorrows and pain. Every single one. We see a God that did not withhold from taking upon himself the pain of the world, the sins of the world, so that we could be washed clean. We literally see a God who walked step by step with us as one of us, Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do have a dual nature, Lord, here on this earth. Yes, we are sinner and saint, but we are also a people. We're looking forward to that beautiful place in which on that mountaintop we will be with you in all your glory. But Lord, we also live in the present, where, Lord God, this world is not a place in which we would say is a place like heaven. Lord God, in this place we still have pain and sorrows. We still have struggles, Lord. And yet what a beautiful thing that you would take upon us. You take our flesh, our weirdness, Lord. Lord God, you would take upon yourself the burdens of this world. And you would not be deterred. Help us see, Lord, that, Lord God, you went through all of this because of a great love you have for us. Lord God, even though we don't fully comprehend what this love really means, Lord God, you have given us a glimpse of that and what it meant to die for us. Lord God, help us see that, Lord God, the words that you wrote out for us in this gospel reading, Lord God, that is a love letter to us, that, Lord God, you would not be deterred. Help us see that the only way for our sins to be forgiven, Lord, would be on a cross in which you would literally be abandoned. Help us see that, Lord God, your great love for us has no limits. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.